Donald Trump, 45th President of the United States. And the pendulum swings, as it does throughout our history. This time, it swings toward a populist, isolationist philosophy. He called the American landscape, which had factories from sea to sea that were shuttered, people out of work, American carnage, he called it.
I'm telling you, this was very strong stuff. Very strong stuff. I did.
Radio.
We have audio, but no video.
Radio Free Beagle. Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show here Sunday night. What a long weekend, an amazing weekend it has been. We have a new president that isn't that woman. And it has got the left all riled up in every way you can imagine. We are as divided as could ever be in our country, but we have stopped the forward momentum of a catastrophic, nation-destroying agenda, runaway freight train that was taking us off a cliff. So we've got a reprieve here. Now, there was some division, and yes, there still is division in our country. We tracked that through Operation Tantrum Overwatch. A group of Ameron Corps operators, volunteers, were tracking the intelligence as it was flowing real time, running it through analytics, trying to anticipate where the next flare-ups would be. Fortunately, the law enforcement agencies in the urban areas were prepared for it, and they were going to have nothing. They were not going to have anything to do with that and shut them down. Shut down the anarchist, communist agitators. As many as 20 groups funded by connections with Soros funding, busing people into the inner cities. They tried to shut it down, but they couldn't. So then the left stream extremists who call themselves media piled on. And in fact, CBS News staff were out after the inauguration coverage, reportedly supporting the anarcho-communist revolutionaries in the streets by bringing them bottled water and supporting them. Unbelievable. Well, things fizzled out, fortunately. We've de-escalated the AMCON readiness level to AMCON 5. And the Ameron Corps operators who were involved in that operation, they're pretty spent. They're resting up. It was a long haul, but it was good stuff. Well, Saturday night, last night, we were able to have Jordan Page in concert. It was a Lavoie Finicum tribute. And we had a special guest, several guests, actually. Pastor Barry Bird spoke. I've got the audio file on all of this. Representative Matt Shea spoke. I'm going to play his audio tonight. And Lavoie's widow, Jeanette, what an amazing woman. Incredible. It was an honor to be able to meet her. We are going to do an interview this coming week. They're going to have a one-year tribute to host the meeting that never took place. It was the meeting that the crew from the refuge, including Lavoie Finnicum were on their way to John Day to give a meeting on the Constitution, and they never made it. So they are going to have that meeting, the one-year anniversary of Lavoie's death, and that's coming up next week in John Day, Oregon. Well, I'm going to share her testimony with you in the audio. I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. We had gremlins in our system, which, go figure, right? Murphy is just bound to show up right when the worst opportunity. And there's a buzz, something in the sound system that I couldn't hear in the headphones, but it came through in the recording. It didn't come through on the speakers, but it's there in the recording. So I want you to pay attention to the message, though. And despite the quality of the sound, whatever was happening when we were live. But it's an amazing testimony that is worthy of sharing what this family has gone through. And it continues to go through being targeted. It's really unbelievable. It's disheartening. But there's a positive message talking about unity. The patriots that were there basically just about filled the hall to hear Jordan Page and to hear Jeanette Finnicum. I was the MC. That was my first event that I MC'd. It was a lot of fun, a little nerve-wracking, but it was a great time, and we had some great folks there. The Black family, Geneva, Janissa, and Garrett, performed their tribute to Lavoie. I've got that recorded. Beautiful. So I'm going to go through the whole audio file with you guys. We're not going to do news and commentary like normal. I'm going to air Fox's Eye on the Economy. And I want to cover something that I touched on a little while back with not a correction, but this is being taken care of. Remember last week, I think it was last week, I went to a FedEx store to ship off the Red Ryder BB gun that was won by a young patriot in the one-time pad contest over the Christmas holidays, and they said, you have to ship it to an FFL dealer. And, of course, I argued with the gal, and she said, nope, that's our policy. I called the customer service, corporate-level customer service. I said, you're not going to believe what this lady's saying here at your FedEx store. And he says, yes, it's true. It's true. A BB gun has to go to an FFL dealer. And I said, well, I'm never doing business with you again, ever. And I'm going to tell everyone I know. Well, of course, you know, there's pretty much a little bit of everything and everybody in our listening audience. And we have a FedEx employee, well, several FedEx employees, but one in particular who is in a management position in FedEx, who is a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. And so he looked into the regs, and he was just sick when he heard about the experience that I had. He said, that's not right. Something's not right. So he looked into the regs and found out that, no, it's just like airsoft, paintball guns, BB guns. You do not have to go to an FFL dealer. So this is an education process. He apologized profusely and said, please, understand, if you ever run anything like this again, contact me directly and I will make sure that this gets taken care of. In the meantime, there is, looks like hopefully the beginning of an education process for some ignorant, and I don't mean dumb, stupid, I don't mean that in a demeaning way. They're ignorant as in they don't know. They misunderstood. They're mistaken on their understanding of what the intent is for the policy. So I've always loved FedEx. I was just really bummed when that happened because I'm not going to do business with somebody that operates their corporate policy on that kind of a mentality. Even though I knew it wasn't right, it couldn't be right. But that's what I got from two different places. So this is going to get taken care of. And I'm happy too because I love using – well, This is not a paid endorsement. I just have really liked what they've done. I've liked both the UPS and FedEx, and I try to stay away from the U.S. Postal Service as much as I absolutely can. But FedEx has always taken great care of us for all of our printing stuff that we've done, and so this is good. I feel good. I feel I'm stoked because it's convenient and the people are always helpful and friendly, except for that one time, which was a deal breaker for me. But it looks like that was a huge misunderstanding that is going to get fixed. Hopefully that goes viral throughout their corporate policy and their education process. So we'll be back. We will be back. Anyway, I'm going to turn this over to Fox 519. And when we come back, I'm going to re-air Representative Matt Shea's speech. And then after that, I'm going to break Jeanette's testimony into two different parts. Listen to her words. Amazing, amazing stuff. And just a great, great lady. And it was so good to see so many patriots gathered together. There's no division there. They're unified. The patriots are united. And this is very encouraging, especially with this new reprieve that we have with this new president in place. President Trump is rolling up his sleeves, and he's got the staff working probably 20-hour days for the first 100 days. They are not messing around. So this is very encouraging. I feel like a weight's taken off my shoulders, don't you? Okay, let's take Fox 519, and then we'll be back with Representative Matt Shea here at the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Prayers answered, and new concerns arise in the new year. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here. Imagine, if you will, if you received a $1,000 power bill, and that was the norm for your area. Well, if the left gets their wish, it just might be. This week on Eye on the Economy, we are seeing how things, again, aren't quite what they seem to our neighbors of the North, and how we could soon see horrific changes here if the left gets their way to implement carbon taxes and smart meters. So listen in as I continue to bring you the news and financial commentaries that matter to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here. Over the past year, you have heard me tell you about the Redoubt's most amazing coffee, Sisters Coffee Roasters. And I have to tell you, I've been drinking the San Marco Supremo, and it's amazing. I'm not blowing hot air here, fellow Redoubters. This is quite possibly the most amazing coffee I've ever drank. It smells amazing. It tastes even better. You've got to go out and order a couple of bags right away. It will change your coffee drinking forever. So log on right after the show tonight and go to www.sisterscoffeeroasters.us and order your bags of San Marco Supreme right away. You will know, too, what it is like to experience coffee the way it was meant to be tasted. That's www.sisterscoffeeroasters.us. Remember, that's two great ladies and an amazing coffee roast. www.sisterscoffeeroasters.us. Well, welcome back. And to start things off, prayers have been answered, and I now have gainful employment. And I even get to serve the Lord in my new role, too. We at the Fox Den are so excited and thankful for your prayers that you all sent our way over the past few months. I ask for prayers again for God to open up new doors for his kingdom to be expanded, and that I remain humble to be his servant in the coming years. Okay, on to the news. So again, imagine if you went to your mailbox, opened up your power bill or water bill, and it was $1,000, and included a tax line that read, quote, your fair share. Now, imagine if this happened every single month. Well, that's what happens to our neighbors in the North. Ontarians currently are spending 30% of or more on their energy bills each month, and the effects are devastating. To make matters worse, right now 60,000 people in the province of Ontario are behind in their power bill, and that grows every single day. Now, why are the reasons that these bills are so high? Well, first, it's the oversupply of power. Ontario's electricity producers are generating more power than they consume in the province, but the government is locked into contracts to purchase that power irregardless. It then sells off the excess to us here in the U.S. at rates below the cost of production, so they're not even making a profit on it. Now, 60,000 people aren't consuming power up there. They still have to pay their, quote, fair share for every month that the power is produced, and that's what they're seeing on their bills. Next is pricey green energy. Wind, solar, and bioenergy account for 6.3% of the total electricity generated in the Ontario province, but that only accounts for 16.3% of total generating costs. And that's according to the Ontario Energy Auditor General Research Investigation into the prices up there. Auditor Bonnie Liss criticized the government for offering overly generous contracts when it launched its big green energy push in 2009. Kind of sounds like Solyndra down here. Now, despite shifting gears to a competitive bidding process, the auditor found in 2014 that Ontario was still paying, quote, double the market price for wind and 3.5 times the market for solar energy. Next we got to look at is the weakened oversight of the energy industry. The Ontario Energy Board is an independent body that regulates electricity prices in the province, but not all electricity pricing. It has little ability to control the price paid to electricity generators other than Ontario Power Generation's nuclear plants at Pickering and Darlington, and some of the OPG's electric dams. The OEB does not have power over private energy producers. They negotiate prices directly with the government, and some have negotiated rather profitable contracts, as we see, since that is their motive, and now we are seeing the results of those contracts and how it's hurting the local people. How about this? Time use of pricing, and this is one of the biggest factors here, folks, that I'm really concerned with. Ontario bought into smart meters that allow for variable pricing of electricity during the day, with the aim of driving down consumption during those times of high use by raising the prices substantially during peak periods. So if you're home or work from home or you even live in Ontario, your prices go up during the day. The move has had little effect on peak demand, and according to an analysis commissioned by the government's independent electricity systems operator, that means that Ontarians are still consuming plenty of electricity during those peak periods and are paying gobs more money for it. Lastly, well-paid hydro workers. And the latest edition of the Canadian Sunrise list includes 7,600 employees of Ontario Power Generation. Their earnings total $1.7 billion. The last time Hydro One workers were on the Sunshine List in 2014, there were 4,200 employees, salaries totaling $550 million. So we're almost doubling it there. Now, the Auditor General in Canada flagged in 2013 that generous salaries, pensions, and benefits at OPG, especially among top executives, were partly to blame for rising hydro prices. That's substantial, folks, a double amount in that. So why should we in the readout be concerned over this? Well, one, there are neighbors to the north, and what happens to them sometimes affects us. But let's start with the obvious, smart meters. That equals more government intrusion into our lives. Currently, companies like Avista Utilities, Sour Power and Light, as well as other smaller utilities throughout Idaho and Montana, are heavily looking into them as ways of monitoring how much power you use, can raise the prices, lower the prices remotely, and shut you down when you don't pay. And we especially have companies like liberal companies like Ecova, based in Spokane, Washington, endorsing them as a way to save more costs. That's just a plain lie. It's a way to price out electricity even more efficiently. Next is government contracts. When you commit to that level of spending, wasteful spending at that, you're not listening to your people. Currently in the readout, we have good people like Matt Shea and Heather Scott fighting for us in their state houses. And they need your support, especially right now. Watch what they say about cap and trade as well as government spending. And when they say they need you, step up and be ready to help out. This is the year to get involved. Don't stand idly by and think that someone else is going to do it for you. Lastly is green energy. It just isn't there yet. We'll get there someday, and you need to have some of it in order to generate power and the bottom falls out. But solar panels and biofuel tech, they're close, but just not cost effective. But traditional means are, and the left hates this, dams and traditional power generation methods. The left hate it. They are pushing carbon taxes and global warming as a means of trying to get rid of those. And that's why we need to continue to back good people who are backing that type of electricity. Yes, we don't have $1,000 power bills just yet, but we could be well on the way if we don't protect the system that we have. To me, that's worth its weight in gold for the moment. Thanks again for listening. Thanks again for your prayers in the last few months. And for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
We're back with segment two. Segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Go to selkirkmountainrealestate.com. Patriot-owned business helping Patriots get strategically relocated to the American Redoubt. While we still have more time, but don't waste it. Act now. You were given a reprieve. You've been trying to get moved to the American Redoubt. Well, you just bought yourself a little bit of time. Thank the Lord. Get a hold of SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com and they will help you out. My email is johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. That's our website, radiofreeredoubt.com. And don't forget about our nationwide disaster communications network of ham operators, non-ham operators, FM low-power transmitting stations known as the Black Echo Rebroadcasting Station Program. A lot of Black Echo operators out there as well. Thank you guys for what you're doing. Streaming tonight live throughout your neighborhoods and your communities and practicing for grid down emergency type of situations, which the Black Echo Broadcasting portable FM broadcasting actually has been implemented in real world disaster situations, keeping communities informed that were otherwise completely grid down, comms down, no cell phones, no internet, no nothing. And so that's pretty exciting. Lots of good stuff. Now, Representative Matt Shea from the Jordan Page concert and the Lavoie Finicum tribute event with Jeanette Finicum present. From last night, January 20th. Sit back and enjoy.
With that, I want to turn this over to someone who absolutely has been leading the way and leading by example in the fight for liberty in more ways than I can even count how involved he is. He is a great friend of mine and someone that I admire, look up to, and it is just an honor to fight for those things that we value alongside of him on a daily basis. Representative Matt Shea.
So politicians and preachers both need podiums. I'm not going to outdo Barry by doing something extemporaneous or something. I do want to say, you know, Jordan Page, your song has been in my head ever since I walked in here, that the pendulum swings from the left to the right. That's what we just saw yesterday in America, isn't it? And thank goodness you're singing it, not me, man. Man, look at the opportunity we've been given for a generation. For a generation. We just need to stand up and be bold. And I'll tell you something. And I want to talk really a little bit about that tonight. You know, we introduced this bill in the 51st State of Liberty, right? There goes Shea and the crazy right-wing radicals again, right? And you know what was really interesting about that? So KXOY does this kind of shaming poll, right? Dumbest idea ever, we support this, right? 8,000 people later, right? 73% support it. They have to shut the poll down, right? Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. So I always start off speeches and, you know, by honoring God, because, you know, our hope is not in man, our hope is in Jesus Christ. And it has to stay there. Amen? Boy, wasn't that great to hear a president actually say God? My goodness, it was amazing. Also, it was great to hear him say radical Islamic terrorist for the first time in 8 years. So with the 51st State of Liberty, I want to talk about something. When people are bold, when we're bold, it emboldens other people around us who otherwise wouldn't be. It really does. And you know what it does to our enemies, the enemies of the Bible, enemies of God, the enemies of our Constitution? They back down, or they start to back up because they don't expect us to be out there. And with this 51st state, it was really great. I knew that we were winning when the Speaker of the House of Washington State, in the very first words of his address, says, "We reject the idea that there are two separate values in Washington State. There are two separate cultures in Washington State. We reject the idea we are one Washington," right? Thank you for saying that, because I get to throw that in your face every single time you try to do gun control, you try to take Jesus out of our schools. I get to throw it in your face every time, right? And it emboldens people. People were emboldened. That is the kind of thing that Lavoie did when he stood up. He emboldened other people. They saw an old grizzled up rancher on TV and they said, if that guy is doing it, why am I not getting off the couch? That is what lives on in my heart. One of the greatest memories of Lavoie was that he did that. He emboldened other people. And you know something? I mean, we're pretty simple folk. We really are. I mean, I believe the Bible means what it says. I believe the Constitution means what it says. I love this country, don't you? Amen. I do. And you know, Lavoie loved this country and he loved liberty. And we've been entrusted. We have. This generation, not generations unborn, not all of our forefathers, we have been entrusted with the holy and just cause of liberty. We have. And I would say that is a solemn and an awesome task if you think about it. I mean, it's not some country in Africa. It's not some country in Europe. It's America that's been entrusted with this. Us. And you know, all these countries around the world, Poland and Hungary, they took from our playbook. When Poland dedicated the country to Jesus Christ in a formal ceremony, where did that come from? From America. When Hungary said, we are a Christian nation, where did that idea come from? It came from America. And man, for me, when I was just at a prayer group before this, and when I hear just the simple command of love each other, that command is above everything, right? And that authority is above everything. Because what we have now in America is people in power that are coming down and seizing ranches. That's not love, folks. Stealing people's ranches ain't love. Stealing people's cows ain't love. Shooting people's cows, that ain't love. Locking people up for 2.5 years. People being in prison right now, even though that they were found innocent, that ain't love. And I want to, before I get into a couple other things, I want to say directly tonight, you know, from my contacts, I understand that tonight there are some confidential informants in this audience. I understand there's also some undercover agents in this audience. And I want to talk to you real quick. Look, we love you. We do. And we're not your enemy. Unless you hate the Constitution, unless you hate the Bible, unless you want to see us all locked up in prison because of those two things, we're not your enemy. We got plenty of enemies. And it would be really nice if we could help each other restore a God-honoring constitutional republic together. I want to mention, too, that for many years, I think we all believed that our country was headed in the wrong direction and is headed in the wrong direction. And many thought that cause was hopeless. And there were a few tireless people that never gave up hope. And you know, Lavoie was one of those people. And he told me once that he had an epiphany, and it came from a question that he had in his own head, that he said, how could he enjoy all the blessings of liberty when it was likely that the next generation wouldn't? And it drove him. I mean, it really did. I would also say, you know, many of us have been praying for years, some for probably longer than I've been alive. Longer than Jordan's been alive, definitely. We've been praying that long, you know, and we've been praying for a God-honoring constitutional republic to be restored, and we've been praying, and we need to continue to pray that God would change the hearts of those in the halls of power toward his will. We need to do that. But we can't just pray, and this is what I think Lavoie realized. And it was interesting, too, listening to the inauguration yesterday. You know, God brings a blessing of rain. Now, Franklin Graham recognized that, right? You guys all heard that? Okay, recognize that, right? But Lavoie recognized something else, okay? That blessing of rain comes, but it doesn't do any good if the crop ain't plowed and planted first. And that's a message to us tonight, that if we are going to pray, we also have to, as Christians, we have to, as Americans, move to action. That's what we have to do. And I think the best way that we can honor Lavoie's memory, honestly, is not just praying for restoration, but getting on the ground and making that happen. And we have an opportunity of a lifetime to make that happen. And I would say this too, freedom isn't a quiet, I mean, I hope you aren't thinking that. Freedom is not a quiet life. It is not a quiet life. It can be punctuated by periods of quiet reflection, sitting on a prairie or up in the mountains, but it's not a quiet life. In fact, I would submit to you that far from being a quiet life, it's an animated contest. That indeed, to restore liberty, there will be turmoil and confrontation. In fact, there must be turmoil and confrontation, because freedom and liberty wouldn't be precious if it weren't so. And we need to expect and embrace turmoil and confrontation and late nights and being smeared and being called the most vilest of names and wishing us dead and our family members dead and being on the front page of the Socialist Review in D-Day size font. We need to expect that to happen. I mean, Lavoie paid with his life. I mean, it's kind of a small price to pay when you think about it, don't you agree with me on that? We need to expect that's what this is about. We need to embrace that this is what it's about. Freedom and liberty is a righteous cause. It is a righteous cause. Always has been. Freedom and liberty are what give you that indescribable feeling in the very deep place of your soul that only God can see. Freedom and liberty is something I think that it almost is indescribable, because it came from heaven anyway. Freedom and liberty is what allows us to live out the commandments of our Lord and Savior as well, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to all nations, to make disciples, to love our neighbor in a tangible way, and to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Liberty and freedom allow us to do that. And friends, that is worth everything, I think, don't you? Yes. It's worth everything. And on our deathbeds many, many years from now, at least I hope, I know there's a little bit of gray hair in here, but on our deathbeds many years from now, you know, our fight for freedom and liberty will give us peace in knowing that our children and our grandchildren, many generations thereafter, will enjoy the same blessings we did without the same cost. And if that doesn't drive you, I don't know what will. You know, Jeanette, you borne that cost. And I want to share something that Lavoie's last words to me was down there in Mahler, Oregon. All of my political supporters in Olympia said, don't go. All my friends said, don't go. Not all of them, and thank you for that. And I had some folks say, that is the dumbest political move you could ever do. I take that kind of as a compliment, actually. And we went down there, and we go first to the elected officials in the law enforcement, and we ask them a simple question. We have this on tape, by the way. We ask them a simple question. Have they broken any laws? Yes or no? And the state-level officials and the local county officials said, no, they have not. This is in front of 7 state representatives, okay? And then the quiet little FBI guy over in the corner, I said, what about you? And he looked at me, you know, he's probably not used to being talked to that way, I don't know. And he says, we don't know yet. Well, wait a minute. And we didn't know it at the time. We got, 12, 16 confidential informants in there and all this, but you don't know if they violated any laws yet? And sure enough, a jury bears out that they didn't. But Lavoie, we were talking around this table after we had met with these guys, and we go out there, it was a totally different atmosphere than the confrontational atmosphere we faced in town. We go out there, and Lavoie and Ammon were just wide open with us. Hey, what do you guys want to know? Do you want some coffee? Here, have the best seat. So this one's more comfortable. You guys have been driving for a long time. It was totally different. And at the end of all of that, we stood up, and Lavoie looks at me, and he comes over and he gives me this gigantic hug. You know, only like he can do, you know? He gives me this huge hug, and he looks at me and he says, "You know, Matt, we're doing this so our kids and our grandkids don't have to." And I said, "Yeah, we are." And that was the last time I saw him alive. But what a memory, what a legacy he left with that statement, just that statement. And I just, tonight as Jordan's playing, you know, we'll all have a time to think a little bit too and reflect and hear some of the words in Jordan's songs, because that's what this is all about. It's not about us. It's about glorifying and honoring and praising God and passing those blessings on to the next generation. So I want to thank y'all for being here tonight. I want to thank you as well. And I just pray, not that God will bless us, because he already has. Let's bless God by keeping America free and making those sacrifices worth it. And Lavoie's sacrifice worth it. All right? All right. God bless you guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Always an honor. Always a pleasure.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Every day, I sell homes and land to bankers, doctors, economists, scientists, military folks, and more for good reason. They all know what's coming and want a secure safety and peace for their family. They've done the research and discovered that North Idaho's superior environment, food, and security surrounded by more like-minded patriots than anywhere in America. At www.revrealty.us, you can read stories about North Idaho's weather, spring development, growing food, solar, and alternative energy. Additionally, every article has a beautiful quote from the brilliant mind of Thomas Jefferson. We also give you free access to our listings, so feel free to browse our inventory or fill out our short form, and we'll do the searching for you. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. And God bless you. What makes you fly? Fame the fall, fame the fall. What makes you fly? Fame the fall. What makes you fly? To when the sizzle's night, or hound to parents' life in bloody war, bloody war. Or hound to parents' life in bloody war. Ye jar the white spine. And here we are with segment three, which is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. That's their website, too. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. If you're planning your landscaping, you want to do it in a smart way so that you can, you can work all of these features for energy supply, security features, water access. Get the most out of your property so that it is... well, strategically landscaped. These guys will help you do it. From developing property master plans, laying out garden areas, creating construction details for building defensive positions that blend seamlessly into the landscape, Strategic Landscape Design will work with you to make sure that your goals are met. And even help you develop goals that for things you didn't even know you could do. Pretty cool. Great company. StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. All right. This is the first part of Jeanette Finnicum's testimony. Once again, pardon the buzz, the hum in the audio, something that we picked up somewhere in the system when we were recording this live last night. But amazing testimony. Enjoy. And we'll be back in just a little bit.
So this is the time that I had wanted to bring Mrs. Jeanette Finnicum up to speak to us, and having you here is such an honor for all of us.
It really is. And you have really honored me by gracing us tonight and bringing your message and your love and your pain and your message of hope and determination. And we love you. I'm all over the country, Jeanette. I travel coast to coast, and there are groups like this everywhere that feel the same way. And you know that, but I'm telling you because when I'm there and you're not, I'm telling you that they're there. And there is a strong love for your family and your husband and his work and his mission. This is what I offer. This is what I can do. Right. This is all I know how to do anymore. And this is how I'm able to honor him. But you've really honored us by being here tonight. Would you join me on stage and come talk to these people? Everybody, Mrs. Jeanette Finnicum.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, for inviting me, Jordan. It's my honor to be here. I'm humbled by all the love that's in this room, by the kindness that all of you are showing me and my family. And I want to bring my family back up here to meet all of you good people. And I don't always want to take my family everywhere I go. So I just want you to know how much I feel that love in the Spirit of the Lord here. And I ask him to be with us as we continue through the night and as we travel home too. And in my words, this isn't what I do, or wasn't what I did, I should say. I was a stay-at-home mom. I raised 12 children. And we had over 60 teenage boys in our home over the 18 years that we did therapeutic foster care. And so that was what I devoted my life to, was to my family and to my husband and to our life. And when I hear Jordan talk about the choices you make and which road to go, believe me, you're on the right one. Because there's nothing more precious than my family and what they are to me now and the support and the love that they offer me. I also am a proud grandma of 25 grandchildren. Just this year, we had 5 new babies since LaVoy was murdered. 3 of them are LaVoy's, middle names, all middle name LaVoy. And 1 little girl with, her name is LaVey. And the other little girl is Liberty. So I know that he had an opportunity to meet each one of those children and are probably playing with all the rest of his posterity in heaven. You know, one of my daughters said, oh, I wish Dad was here so he could meet my new baby that's coming. We had one of those light bulb moments where we realized he's there now with them, playing with them, teasing them, because he was a big tease. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things that I've been going through since LaVoy was killed. And the BLM, Bureau of Land Management, I have to clarify. Lavoie took a stand, and he decided that he was no longer going to sign contracts with the BLM. He was paid in full. All of our grazing fees were paid. And he decided that he was no longer going to pay the grazing fees to the BLM, but he was going to pay a production tax to the county, to where he felt that the money needed to go. He felt that the land within those states belonged to the state, not to the federal government, and that those leases, the money that we ranchers would pay to lease the grass, that production tax is what he was calling it, should go to the county in which those lands reside, so that the people closest to that could decide how those funds were going to be spent within their neighborhoods, within their counties. And so that was what he was doing. And it was kind of an evolution for him, coming to that part in his life, point in his life. So that's where he left it, okay? Because that was just in September of 2015 that he made that public announcement. And then you see in his videos as he kind of lays out the problems that we had afterwards with the water and et cetera. And it kind of gives you a timeline. And then New Year's Eve, we're out rounding up cows. And I remember that night, oh my goodness, was it cold. It was so cold. And he had pitched a tent, and as usual, he brought a cot for me, and everybody else had to sleep on the ground. And he put a propane heater in there to warm it up, because he always took care of me. And we rounded up our cows, and the next day we branded, and we had such a wonderful time. It was cold, and it was bitter, but it was cold. But it was fun. And we got home, and he got that call from Ryan Bundy and asked him if he wanted to go up and support the Hammonds up in John Day. Actually, that would have been in Burns. And so he got cleaned up and took off. Took his bug out bag with the ones that an extra pair of clothes, and off he went. And you guys know the rest. You know that they were asked by Ammon if they wanted to join him in going to Malheur and taking a peaceful stand, a peaceful demonstration, not a terrorist attack, not any of the labels that they had been given after they went out there. And my husband agreed. And he even talks about it in some of his interviews about as he was driving out there and the eagle flies overhead, and how he felt that that was a sign from his father that he was doing what his father wanted him to do. Standing. Now, since all of that, you know, for a while they left me alone. You know, he was murdered. The lease was in his name. They figured that they didn't have to deal with me at all, because in their minds, the property didn't belong to me. But I live in Arizona, where it's community property laws. And they didn't want to recognize me. They didn't want to recognize Arizona state law. I had to prove that he was dead. And I didn't get his death certificate till the end of May. Then I had to prove that I was the personal representative of his estate. And that took until June, first part of July. I finally got my first call from the BLM the end of May, telling me that I was in trespass because they weren't off by May 15th. And if I back up a little bit, when he was alive, they told him he couldn't use his summer range, which was called Hog Canyon. So I had nowhere to put my cows for summer. and I didn't know what I was going to do. And they hadn't been talking to me and refused to talk to me. And I was trying to do what they were asking, death certificate, personal representative, going through the hoops, jumping through the hoops. They tell me, get your cows off. I go, where am I going to put my cows? Where am I going to put my cows? I didn't know what to do. I could sell them. I could sell tuck up. I could just wipe my hands of it all. My father-in-law came to my rescue, and he provided some land where we then began to fence it so that I could keep my cows in. And my sister-in-law and her husband and friends came and helped us finish that. We put in water pipe. Other friends came to my aid and brought in water troughs to hold the water. And other friends came and gave me feeders. And I don't know how many ranchers are here tonight, but you know what a feedlot is like if you're here, and you know what it costs to feed cows on a daily basis. It's quite expensive. And that's not the operation that LaVoy and I had. So I had neighbors from Idaho drive down with hay. People I didn't know, and people from northern Utah come in and bring hay by the truckloads. I had people send money to help me buy the thousands and thousands of dollars after all that free hay disappeared. And I bought more hay. I had to make it to October 15th so I could then start trailing my cows out to tuck up again for my winter range. Now, I'm the city girl, the Army brat who grew up in Seattle and Florida and D.C., who met LaVoy at a church dance in St. George, Utah. So the city girl married the cowboy. And so I had no idea really what I was doing. Thank goodness for my in-laws and my young daughter, who at the time wasn't quite 18, who knew more about ranching because her dad had taught her. I learned to operate a backhoe and a forklift, and I was able to take the burden off my daughter and my in-laws by feeding them every day myself. What a freeing thing that is. Father knew that I could if I was just taught. And he gave me strength to keep moving forward. We can do hard things. So I'm done feeding my cows. I have lawyers at this point who are trying to negotiate with the BLM to jump through all the hoops, fill out an application. So I fill out an application. It's not quite right, so I have to do it again. And the next thing that they talk about is you need the environmentalists are involved, and we're going to need an environmental impact study before we can authorize this application for you to put your cows back. And we're being watched by the water, Western Watershed Alliance Group, which is an environmentalist group, who, because I believe LaVoy was murdered and it was so public, they right from the get-go have been wanting to know exactly what's going on with my particular allotment. And so the pressure is on the BLM. The pressure is on the state to negotiate with me. The pressure is on coming to D.C., just like it was when the men were up in Malheur. So I feel like this is, I'm going to explain it to you how I feel. I sold my soul by agreeing to pay the $12,000 worth of fines that they say my husband owes. So I wrote the check out. I just wanted to wash my hands of the BLM and just to move forward. And I start moving on my cows across the desert, thinking that all is well. And and we do it the old-fashioned way. So we've got 50 miles to go, we're pushing 150 head. We're in 14 miles. And my mother-in-law drives out and says, Jeanette, you've got to stop. They wouldn't take your check. They aren't negotiating. You've got to do more this, this, and this. Your lawyers are urging you to stop because you'll be out of compliance. They'll impound your cows. They'll arrest you. They'll take your allotment. I remember not being really very happy that night. I remember, because we did this every year, moved the cows that way. So I remember laying out under the stars and looking up at the sky. I know this is kind of sappy. My husband gave me a star. And all through the night, every time I poked my head out of the bag, that star was right above me. It was like hovering over me, watching me, watching over me. No matter what time of the day, night it was still there. And I felt like it was going to be okay. All was going to be well. I'll make the right decision. I had Arden Bundy with me, my 18-year-old daughter. My daughter Shalise and my four little grandkids. And Chancey Scott Cox, Arden's brother-in-law. And they were able to find me a massive semi that would come all the way out there to haul my cows in. And there was a man in Kanab that was willing to put my cows in his pens until I could figure out what to do and feed them. So then we were off for 2 days hauling cows out of the desert into the pens. My sister-in-law had gotten in contact with the BLM and asked if my cows could go to her allotment. And within 24 hours, she had permission to allow my cows to be on her range. It's amazing how fast they'll work when they want to. 9 months of not returning my attorney's calls or requiring me to do this or that or this or that. And in 24 hours, she had permission for me to go out there. And that's where they sit. It's winter time. My winter range has lots of grass, lots of water, and my cows are somewhere else. In the middle of all of this, my attorneys find regulations that state, their own regulations state that I have up to 2 years after the death of a permittee to work things out and continue to run my ranch as if he was still alive until we negotiate, until we figure out the problems, until I go through all the hoops that they continually hand me. And when my attorneys pointed that out, they told them, we don't do it that way. My attorney went, what? What do you mean you don't do it that way? This is your own regulation that says she can still be there while you negotiate. And even if we were to use up that 2-year period, they have the authority to grant me an extension until it's figured out. This is property that we purchased thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars for. We purchased the right to own that grass, to own that water. After riding with the Bundys, this is what Lavoie, the light bulb came on in his head, and he realized, this isn't right. Why is the federal government out here in the West gobbling up all of the land? So that just kind of gives you besides everything else I've been dealing with, that's my situation with the BLM. I am filing a lawsuit. I tore up that check. I am not going to pay that fine. I am going to court. I'm going to fight this. And if I lose the ranch and my cows, I lose them. LaVoy was willing to lose them. The other thing that I've been dealing with, and I think it's been mentioned here tonight a couple of times, that I find really interesting. The FBI follows me around to events. I find that very curious. The first time I found out that happened was in July. We had just gone out to Colorado. I had done a little event there. Me and my daughter, Tara, and my grandkids were with me. Week afterwards, my friend who organized that event called me up and said, "Hey, Jeanette, do you realize that the FBI came down here with the BLM and the Oregon officials came down to visit with the chief of police and the sheriff here and wanted to know if they could raid our event?" And thank goodness for a sheriff who said, "No, we have a lot of Second Amendment people here that legally carry, and you will create chaos going in there." She found this out from friends in town, and then she had done her homework and gone and gotten through the Freedom of Information Act, the memos that were sent to all of the city council, to the sheriff, it was amazing. They went to great lengths. And in the memo, it had accused my husband of being a sovereign citizen terrorist. And the wife of the sovereign citizen terrorist would be coming to speak in their town. I'm going, what the heck? I'm a grandma. I'm a stay-at-home mom. And, you know, quite frankly, because I haven't done the work that my husband did, I had no idea what they were talking about. I didn't even know if that was good or bad, really, other than the terrorist. I got that part. So I went to look it up and to do a little bit of study, and then I wanted to, you know, my friend said, "Jeanette, you've got to go on the FBI website and read what they have under sovereign citizen terrorist, what the definition is." And I'm going to read it to you, part of it, because it's 4 pages long, so I've got a little bit here. The FBI considers sovereign citizens extremist. An anti-government group is closely related to the land movements. Sovereign citizens do not represent an anarchist group, nor are they a militia, although they sometimes use or buy illegal weapons, refer to themselves as constitutionalists. Many believe that only white men have rights. They believe that the ratification of the 13th and 19th Amendment are unconstitutional, meaning women never gain suffrage and any election in which women have voted is null and void. Sovereign citizens don't pay their taxes, use fake currency, passports, license plates, and driver's licenses, don't recognize government authority, courts, or law enforcement. Sovereign citizens commit murder and physical assault. They threaten judges and law enforcement, and they engineer various white-collar scams. This type of behavior is associated with rural and small-town whites in the American West. According to a survey of law enforcement personnel, in 2014, sovereign citizens are now regarded as the number one terrorist threat in America. Now, that's just a small snippet of the 4 pages that was online. And what I find interesting is that we're told, and you know, they announced here tonight that we have been given the information that there might be FBI here tonight. And I have to ask, not that you'll answer, but I have to ask, What is it about me exercising my First Amendment right to speak about my personal situation, the murder of my husband, that you were involved in? Why are you following me around? What do you have to fear from me? That I speak the truth? That's what Lavoie was doing too, and that's why he's not here anymore. Well, I'm not going to be quiet, and I'm not afraid. I'm not going to go home with my tail tucked and go back to a quiet little life and just, I'm not. In the words of my husband, he said, "We are not just a bunch of wannabe anarchists who don't believe in government. Contrary, I believe in government. I believe in federal government. We need federal government in the proper place. We need the federal government. How else are we going to protect our country? I believe in the proper relationships between the state and the federal government and the counties," end quote. That's what my husband said about federal government. He wasn't anti-government. And I echo his words. I support pro-responsible government. My aim to promote his view of pro-responsible government nationwide and to hold irresponsible governors accountable for their misuse of power. That is what we, the people, need to start doing. Holding irresponsible governors accountable for their misuse of power. We have not been doing that. That is the part of our bargain. When we elect these officials, we still have responsibilities as citizens. I was just a housewife, content to baking and cooking and taking care of my kids. I was one that was asleep. I was much older than you, Jordan. It took my husband dying that pushed us out in the forefront, all of us, my kids and myself. We're not going to stop. We're going to keep responsibly speaking about freedom and liberty, peacefully demonstrating, exercising our First Amendment right, exercising our Second Amendment right. We will keep doing that responsibly. So, Mr. FBI, what is it that I'm doing that's lawless? What law have I broken that warrants you to be here, to follow me around the country? I want that answer. I doubt I will get it. I have to be careful, because that anger is the spirit of the devil. And I can't allow his spirit, even when it may be justified, to be inside of me. So I pray all the time that Heavenly Father will take that spirit away from me and allow me to be effective without the anger or bitterness. I forgive the men who have killed my husband. They were taking orders. But just because I forgive them doesn't mean that the situation should not warrant someone being held accountable for their misuse of power.
Hey, this is Jordan Page, and you're tuned into Radio Free Readout.
If there's any hope of restoring America, we cannot, as a free people, allow ourselves to be divided. Division is what the destroyers of liberty are counting on, and if that means, as a last resort, preserving those American ideals within the boundaries of the American Readout, there must be unity among the patriots. We must all hang together. Or assuredly, we shall all hang separately. That's what Benjamin Franklin said, and that's what I say too. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Hardly a shot was fired. With ruthless propaganda and clever political intrigue, the Soviets captured control of five free governments and sealed off 70 million people behind an iron curtain.
Rang out in the foggy.
This is the last segment, segment four, here at Radio Free Redoubt. This second part coming up here is the rest of Jeanette Finnicum's testimony. And I just picked up his book, Lavoie Finnicum's book, a novel. And I'm going to do a little review on that because I was really impressed, actually. I burned through chapter one this morning, and I didn't want to put it down, but I had stuff to do. So I'm really looking forward to getting back to that, talking about that more. So anyway, enjoy the second part of Jeanette's testimony. Segment four is brought to you by Katie Armour. By the way, don't forget to support our Patriot-owned businesses that are supporting Radio Free Redoubt. And hey, just shoot them an email saying thank you for supporting Radio Free Redoubt to keep us growing and doing what we're doing. And we're very grateful for it. But they've got the soft armor, the hard plate armor, front, back sides. And they're made right here in the American Redoubt. And they've got free shipping on all their stuff. So go check them out at katiearmor.com. All right, Jeanette Finnicum, part two.
But let me briefly just talk about the wonderful outcome in Oregon. And I want to read this part because I want my words to be exact, so pardon me. I would like to briefly talk about the wonderful outcome of Oregon's federal district court jury finding all the defendants in the first trial not guilty of all charges. We are grateful that some have been able to return to their families. We are praying for all who continue to be incarcerated unjustly. We pray for their immediate release, and we hope for the same outcome of not guilty for the next seven on trial, and for those in Nevada. The courts here in Oregon first tried those who they considered were the leaders. Lavoie being the media spokesman for the group, if his right to life, due process, and a fair trial would not have been taken from him, he too would have been tried in the first group of leaders, and he too would have been acquitted by the jury and would have returned home to us, his family, as a free man. Lavoie's inalienable right to life was robbed from him merely for doing that which our nation's rule of law safeguards for its citizens, which is the right to peacefully assemble and petition the government for a redress of grievances. We are going to continue and move forward in that vein as well. And we'll be making an announcement next week. And more to that next week. A lot of people ask what they can do. And you know, I have thought there's lots that can be done everywhere. And I am speaking to the choir here. You guys already have it going on. You guys are already very effective in your own community. And so I feel like what I had prepared here, you're already doing. I've been edified by all the people who have spoke. I have been taught. I have been lifted. I've been encouraged. I'm excited to see this many people in this little community here that are of like mind. Not only do you worship our Heavenly Father and our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, but you value and revere the Constitution as a divine document. There's so many out there that don't understand that. They don't understand the treasure that we have that we're losing. One of the last things that LaVoy said to me, you know, I was telling somebody earlier tonight that we had a little tiff, just as, if you want to call it a tiff. He was sending me home early, and I didn't want to go. But he must have felt that something was in the works, and he thought that I should get home to Tian. She was playing basketball. And she had a couple of games coming up, and it was senior recognition. So he didn't want me to miss it because he knew he wasn't going to make it. So I had had him write letters. I had him write a letter to her for senior recognition so we could read it. And he said to me, have faith, take courage. God is in charge, Jeanette. Well, I do have faith and I do have courage. And I know that God is in charge. I am grateful to know these things because it brings peace. Because losing him has been hard. But what I know is that I'll be with him again. I just have to work it out while I'm here by myself. It's not easy, but it'll be okay. Because I can take what I'm feeling to my Father, and He can make it better. There's this little thing that my daughter gave me. It says, I'm only one. I'm only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. What I can do that I ought to do, and what I ought to do, by the grace of God, I shall do. I like that. So tonight, we have seen multiple different talents here tonight. Jordan and his music, these wonderful girls over here, and their brother. Their beautiful song, the speakers with their ability to use their words and their knowledge to influence and teach and guide, uplift. We all have different circles of influence in which we can make the differences necessary that we need to as a nation to get back to where we were. And there's a lot of work to do. What our family is going to do is this. And, you know, I've often said that they may have killed or silenced LaVoy's voice, but they created 13 more voices. And I know there will be more because I have 25 grandkids. And still counting because nobody's done having kids yet. And some haven't started. That's what you're looking forward to. But early on, we knew with everything coming at us as much as it was, and believe me, this is, you know, we're just, my husband said it in one of his videos, I'm just a hick. I'm just this country boy. We're just a family from Cane Beds, Arizona, that's barely on the map. And we knew that with everything coming at us, the media and people and others in their agendas, wanting to use us for their purposes, We knew we had to become focused. We knew we had to figure out what it was that we as a family wanted to do, because we're not all the same. We're all different. And so we created a Finicum family mission statement, and it reads as follows. We, the Finicum family, seeking to better understand, maintain, and defend our God-given rights to further our eternal happiness, will virtually let our voices be heard, educating on the principles of the Constitution, and our testimonies be seen for personal property rights, liberty, and freedom, and one that has become even more near and dear to us as of late, the importance of life. That's our mission statement, okay? But I encourage you all to make your own mission statements of how you can effectively be a piece of that puzzle that we all are in this grand picture of helping to restore the lost liberties. And I know that God will tell you what it is that you need to do. And I know that he will lift you, because he does me. He's here with me now, helping me speak to you, because this is so way above me, right? It's above any one person. One of the... It's in my husband's book, because this is, he truly believed this. Ezra Taft Benson was a prophet in our church. But prior to him being a prophet, he worked in government. And he's written a lot about the Constitution and what he sees, what he saw, because he's not with us any longer. But one of Lavoie's favorite quotes is this, and he lived by it, and he believed it. And I believe that he knew God was with him right at the very last moments. Quote is this: "The fight for freedom is God's fight. When a man stands for freedom, he stands with God. As long as he stands for freedom, he stands with God. And were he to stand alone, he would still stand with God. Any man will be eternally vindicated and rewarded for his stand for freedom." The Constitution is a divine document. God prepared those men and brought them together to create that Constitution for this land that was ordained to be free. God is the author of liberty. And we fought this battle before. I believe that truly. We fought that battle before in heaven, the war between Christ and Satan. It was about agency. It was about freedom. And we are still here on this earth fighting that same battle. We are God's warriors here today. And I do believe that he has sent strong choice spirits to help continue to fight for that battle of freedom and that liberty to be restored here in this country. Because we are the example to the rest of the world. They so desperately need us. I can't imagine living in a different country. Can you? Thank you for inviting me to come. I'm humbled by the invitation and by your kindness and love that you show me. And I will take it back home, and it'll buoy me up for a while longer. And if you have a chance, you should come, if you can, to Oregon next week, to John Day. It's the 1 year anniversary of his murder and of the meeting that they were on their way to. We are having it in John Day. And I've invited some really wonderful educators of the true principles of freedom to teach. Chris Ann Hall, Kate Daly, Bill Norton, Garrett Smith, Trent Luce is going to MC it. I'm going to introduce most of my family. All but two children will be there. Belle, who just had a baby, can't make it. And Mitch, he's in the military, and so he won't be able to make it either. But it's going to be a really uplifting evening. And so I hope to see some of you there. If not, I will feel your spirit from here, that's for sure. But thank you again, and God bless you all. And thank you from the bottom of my heart. I love you all. Thank you.
Jeanette, thank you so much. Thank you for blessing all of us with your presence here tonight. I did not have the pleasure of meeting your husband in life, but the night that he was killed, I had an experience that I've shared with you, and I'll share it with these folks too. Could we kill the lights again for me? I had been following the situation in Oregon pretty closely, minute to minute, really. And by the time Lavoie had been gone for several hours, and I was just full of dark emotions, just hatred and rage and anxiety, all these feelings that you don't want to hold on to for very long. But around 1 o'clock in the morning, I had a come to Jesus moment. Very much so. I felt this breeze hit me in my living room, and as though someone had opened a door, and I felt it, and it just pulled all of those things, all of those emotions out of me, and I felt happy for a minute. I felt just calm and serene, and then I heard this little bubble pop right above my head. And I heard a voice say, "He was a man who loved to walk the land, turn his cheek, but also take a stand." And I wrote those words down. And when I finished that line, I heard the next line. And then the next line. And then it was finished. And then the next evening, my wife, Mary, filmed me on our couch in our living room in Montana. And I sang it. And we put it on YouTube about midnight. By the next morning, it had like 5,000 views. And by the next day, it had 15,000 views or so. And then the day after that, I got an email from Ariana Finicum saying that the whole family was listening to this song over and over. And I was blown away by that. And she said how much it was helping with their grief. And I thought to myself, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What more could I ever ask for a song to do? You know, this is like my most requested song of all time. Everywhere I go, this is the one everybody wants to hear, because they feel it too. And I'm very grateful to know you and to know your family and to support you and to honor you and to honor your husband. That's why we're here. That's why I called it this event, Remember Lavoie. I promised you back in Kanab that I would never stop singing this song. I promised you, and I will hold to that. You have my vow. This is called The Ballad of Lavoie Finicum, Cowboy Stand for Freedom. He was a man who loved to walk the land, turn his cheek, but also take a stand. Conviction called, he followed what he felt was right. There's no telling just what time will bring. You can live for nothing or for everything.
just come to shove and tell me, will you fight? I'm only talking about a cowboy stand for freedom. I'm just talking about a name carved in a stone. Right, then there's nearly wrong as you live your life from sunrise to dawn. Then it's over and the moment's gone. You can testify to the things unseen, but the world is blind, can't see. Can do is try to be a human being. I'm only talking about a cowboy stand for freedom. I'm just talking about a name carved in a stone. Drive on, cowboy, he's heading home. I know not what course other men may take, can't see that far down the road. But as for me and mine, make no mistake, the weight of justice is a heavy load. And I'm living by a code. He left his home to go and take a stand, while his voice rang out across the deafening land. In the end, it was a bullet that exposed the lie. Truth remembered is a battle won, and though his murder cannot be undone, it rings out like an echo, thundering across the night. Well, here's to all the cowboys who stand for freedom. Why do we watch them from afar with hearts of stone? Oh, is riding off to the setting sun, where the thoughts of many from the voice of one will drive on, cowboy, your work is done.
Thank you.